The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and they were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in a like manner the fish. This was the third time that Jesus had revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" and said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
These scripture texts are once again rich, and we could literally spend at least a week or two or three unpackaging them. So I really do invite you to go to the parish website and look at these scriptures during the coming days to unpackage the bountiful gift of the first reading that reminds us that when we are confronted or challenged as Christian people, that sometimes we have to stand on the good news of Jesus Christ. And the second reading reminds us that there's a big vision, that God is always pulling us to that big vision that says that in God's time, we will all be welcomed to the table. And the gospel has many segments to it, and I hope one of those segments spoke to you, but I'm going to focus in on just one small phrase this evening. And that phrase is, it is the Lord. In this scripture text, we are once again reminded that in the early scripture history of our apostles and disciples, they did not get this thing about resurrection. Remember Mary coming to the tomb, and when the person said, what are you looking for? She assumed he was a gardener, and he had stolen the body of the dead Jesus. Just tell me where you took him. And it was only when this gardener said, Mary, that she saw the Lord. Remember the people on their way to Emmaus. They were overwhelmed as the rest of the disciples and apostles. This Jesus that they had trusted as a good rabbi, thinking that he would be the Messiah and leader of their own community and free them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire, all of that, and they were fleeing the town just to get away. And in that encounter, Jesus, once again, hidden, they couldn't see him, retells the scripture story. And it was only in the breaking of the bread that they saw Jesus, and then he disappeared. And then tonight, we have this powerful story in which Jesus goes to these people who clearly were going back to their regular work as fishermen. And in that, he says, this unknown person, go out one more time and put your nets on the other side. Somehow they did not see Jesus, but they also somehow trusted this person enough to do that. If I went up to some fishermen and said, fish on this other side, they would look at me like, have you ever fished in your life? And I would say, no. And they wouldn't just go to the other side. They would tell me to take a hike. But somehow they were trusting in this person. And when they did this, another miracle happened. And a multiplication of fish happened. But even that didn't open their eyes. It was when they came back together having breakfast. This was the Sunday special breakfast at some hotel, one of those fancy brunches, you know. And Jesus is there, and it's only when he breaks the bread and pulls out the fish that, ah. And then it wasn't even Peter or Simon Peter. It was the beloved one who says, it is the Lord. And then they realize that's Jesus there. So I invite us to be aware that the early church struggled and did not quite get this resurrection. And they didn't see Jesus completely. He clearly didn't change his hair in a couple weeks. He didn't, if he had bald spots, it wasn't growing back. Clearly he didn't seem to have grown a beard or something different. He didn't change the color hair. But something kept the apostles and disciples from seeing this Jesus who had walked with them for 3 years, preached among them, did all these amazing things. They clearly had turned their lives over to this rabbi, but they could not see him. It is the Lord. This scripture invites us, each of us tonight, to be aware that we can be blinded by lots of things that keeps us from seeing Jesus, from being aware of the Jesus that is right here, the Jesus that is within us when we look at a mirror, the Jesus that's sitting right next to you, the Jesus that you love and you care for as a spouse or as a partner, as a friend, as a parent, a grandparent, a neighbor, a classmate, whatever that relationship that you see God present in, the Jesus there. This morning I had the gift of celebrating Mass at Juvenile Hall, and every time I say Mass at Juvenile Hall, during the petition, we always pray for all of our friends and enemies. We don't often pray for enemies in our petitions. Jesus invites us to believe that even our enemies have the presence of God in them. Someone that we disagree with religiously, politically, we don't agree on something at work or in the family or at school, we don't agree with them online or wherever it is, and we might see them as the other. And Jesus invites us tonight to make that statement of faith of the apostles once they saw, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. The Lord is present in our hearts, in our lives, and in this myth. Tonight, we join our Muslim brothers and sisters as the beginning of Ramadan takes place, that for the next 30 days, they will fast from sunrise to sunset, part of their spiritual journey like our Lenten journey, in which they come closer and closer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jesus, Jacob, their loving God that joins us with ours. Just as the Jewish community just finished their holy time of Passover, we are one with them because we believe that the Lord is present in each of us, even when we are different. So in that context, I'm going to ask you, how many people have a cell phone? If you could take your cell phones out. And if you're texting your girlfriend or boyfriend or someone, just put them on hold for a moment. Tell them that the preacher is telling them to go offline. So I'd like you to take out your camera and open up your camera and then do the selfie kind of camera thing. Because I'd like you to see that when you do that, it is the Lord. And if I was really high-tech, we'd have it up here. But that's the Lord. We are invited to see that the Lord is looking at you. It is the Lord, is what the Scripture says tonight. We are invited to believe that with all of our struggles and with all of our difficulties, with all of our problems, with all of our shortcomings, with all of the things that makes us enemy to other people, the Lord is here. It is the Lord. Jesus invites us to believe that that whom we look at is the Lord. And so the question for us is, do other people see the Lord when they hear or they see us? Do they experience that God who loves and cares for each of us? This God who's resurrected and walks us in the waters of baptism and in the light of Easter joy. This is our God. This is the Lord. We are invited to let those things that keep us from seeing God present, and we ask God to remove those things that keep us from seeing the presence of Christ. Even the apostles and disciples who had Jesus, the real flesh and blood Jesus with them, did not see him. The Scriptures are very clear with these multiple stories. They did not recognize the Lord. But something happened. The name, the fish, the bread. Something happened, and that allowed them to see it is the Lord. So this week, I'd invite you to take a moment of reflection when you open your phone to call someone or to text someone or to do whatever communication you're doing. Take a moment to switch to the phone, do the selfie, and look at yourself and hear the phrase from Jesus, it is the Lord. You and I are called to be the Lord today in this world. We are called to see in the other, it is the Lord, the friend and the enemy, the ones we agree with, the ones we disagree with. It is the Lord. And by our witness to them of loving, forgiving, challenging, caring, embracing, and welcoming, they will know that we are the Lord too. You are the Lord also. And in that experience, whether it's the breaking of bread or the multiplication of fish or simply knowing their name, they will experience what the Scripture tonight is about. It is about freedom for the first reading. It's about vision in the second reading. And it is about a God who loves us and says to us over and over, Simon Peter, and you can insert your name, Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And Jesus responds and anoints us and blesses us and reminds us it is the Lord when we stand up to that belief, to that truth. God is risen, not just back then, but now, in this place, in you and in me. May we shine forth as the risen people. Amen. So having looked at our selfies of ourselves, I invite you to stand for a moment.